Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure and honor. Thank you, worship team, too, tonight. That's awesome just to get to just sit back and just worship the Lord before you have to get up here and speak. You ain't got to worry about that. It's good. So thank you guys so much. I believe it or not, I wasn't too nervous today. A lot of times I'm really nervous when I got to speak the whole day, and I give God praise for that, but I also wanted to give you guys praise for that, too. It was on my heart today just to let you know. You know, the more I thought about it, this is family here tonight. I'm here with family, and every time that I speak, I'm always met with kindness and love and encouragement from all of you guys, and I just thank you so much for that. And for the ladies' flourish meeting, we heard that it was a competition. That's what he said Sunday. I was just going to tell you guys, y'all going to have to step up the cereal bar. Y'all ain't going to win nobody over with that. The men, we had like biscuits and gravy and scrambled eggs and sausage and bacon. Thanks to all the cooks, too, that were there for that. I just wanted to share with you guys before I got started. It's on my heart. We were talking about it here before service started about a blessing from Sunday. I want to embarrass Carter a little bit with this because that's what preachers do. They get up here and embarrass their kids. I've found out that's the go-to. But Sunday, we got invited to go back to the church that me and Crystal first started going to church. That's a small church in Valley Head, and that's where we started going to church. That's where I started playing guitar at and singing, and we went back and led some worship with them, and Carter got to stand up and lead worship too with me. He led a song by himself. Yeah, that's what I was talking about, but we was just talking about what a blessing it was, and I realized, you know, I got a taste of it, what my parents, obviously my fan club come every time that I speak, and what a blessing it is, you know, I got a taste of that, what they get when they see me up here anytime I'm singing or preaching, and it just gave me vision. You know, the Lord put that in us, and he gets that blessing from all of us, not just, it doesn't have to be up here with a microphone. Anytime you're glorifying his name, you know, some people think you got to be a preacher or you got to be standing up on stage and have a big crowd to glorify him, but it could be with friends or family. Anytime you're standing up glorifying him, the joy that puts in his heart. So, well, the pastor and him are not here tonight, I guess you noticed, since I'm here. But we send our love to him. We miss him a lot. I think that he gave us a break and asked me to speak because he's been keeping us to like 8 or 9 o'clock the last couple of Wednesdays. So he thought so there you go, Shelly. He thought he'd get me to come in to give y'all a night off. But we'll get right into the word tonight. I'll open us up in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. I thank you for the blessings that you've poured out on us, Father. I thank you that I get the opportunity to speak and to teach in your house, Lord, that you just see me worthy, and I just ask that you just use me tonight, Father, lead and guide me. Lord, keep me from getting in your way. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of my message tonight is Seeing the Blessing Through the Vision. So I'm wanting to talk about vision tonight, and the Lord put this word on my heart back in January during our fast, when we were doing our fast, and we were up here. It was a night of worship, and I was up here on the front row just worshiping the Lord. And I shared a little bit about this in pre-service prayer one morning, but a sense of gratitude just come over my heart. You know, I just got overwhelmed with gratitude and seeing how much he has done in my life. And more than that, just seeing how much he's done in this church and the vision in this church. And looking back at what we thought were hard times and what we were going through. But looking back, I seen how he was working in all of it. And he was right there with us. And so I want to talk about vision tonight. I want to preach. I want to stir vision up in this house and encourage you with it. And the vision that I'm talking about is godly vision. It's God's will, God's plan in our lives. Not your will, not your plan, not my plan, not Facebook's plan, not your five-step program's plan, but God's plan in our lives. So before I get into starting to talk about chasing down the vision, the first thing that we need to look at when we talk about vision is getting direction from God. That's the first place we need to turn when we are talking about godly vision. So I got three steps that we want to take when we're getting direction from God. The first one is very cliche. It's very simple, but we want to ask for it. I know that sounds simple, but sometimes we overlook the simplest stuff first. Sometimes we overlook just stopping and just asking the Lord, give me vision. Give me the direction. Give me the path that you want me to take in my life. Matthew 7:7-8 tells us that Jesus says in this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And he who knocks, it will be open. He's standing at the door. He's waiting on us. Y'all feel it? Feel it in the room. I mean, he's waiting on us. We just got to stop and ask for direction. Second thing, we need to spend time in his presence. And we need to spend time in his presence. We need to spend time praying to God. We need to spend time talking to God. Most importantly, we need to spend time waiting on God to talk back to us. It's something that it's really hard for us to do in our microwave generation is wait on the Lord. We live in a time where we want things now, and it can't get there fast enough. We don't want to wait in traffic. We don't want to wait at the grocery store. We don't even, fast food's not even fast enough for us. We don't even want to wait for that anymore. Lamentations 3:25 tells us, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So we got to make time for God. Third, we need to spend time in his word. How are we going to recognize his voice if we don't know his word? If we don't know his character, we got to spend time in his word. Jesus says in John 10:27, I love the scripture here. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I get excited when I read this. Anytime I hear it, all I think of is yes, 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 yes. That is right where I want to be. I want to hear his voice. I want to be his sheep. I want to be in his presence. I want to be where in his hand so no one can snatch me out of. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Listen, I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear from him. I need to hear from him. You guys need to hear from God. We need to hear from him for advice, for wisdom, for his direction, for his encouragement, and most importantly, his vision that he gives us. I want you to know tonight that God wants to speak to you. God wants to hear from you. So please, please take time. Take time to listen. Take time to spend in his presence. Once we receive and get vision from God, then we're going to talk about walking it out. We've got a popular scripture here. It's Proverbs 29:18. I'm sure everybody's heard this scripture. I've heard it a lot. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law is happy. I've heard this scripture a lot in and out of church before I was even in church. People said it all the time. At least the first part of it. Didn't really hear the last part that much. It just seemed like the first part is what everybody always told you. But where there is no vision, people perish. Which really didn't make a lot of sense to me when I used to hear it. When I used to hear where there's no vision, people perish. It's like, well, I know old people that don't seem like they have any vision at all. They're just living day by day. They ain't dead or anything. That just don't make sense to me. But when we read the different translations of this and we read the entire verse, it takes on a little bit of a different meaning. So the other two translations that I wanted to go over is the NLT. And this, it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they just run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. And then the ESV has it, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. I really like the NLT. That's my favorite one, where it says, where people do not accept divine guidance, they just run wild. So it's looking at it more like not just perishing. It's looking at it more like God's plan keeps you on track. It keeps you focused. It keeps you focused in life. And another thing that I wanted to point out, I underlined it on here so you guys would jump out at you, but notice the promises that are tied to all three of them. All three of them, happy, joyful, blessed. Who doesn't want that in their lives? Amen? So the world is tried to adopt this mentality, way of thinking. You know, you've heard companies say, hey, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? And the main reason that they've adopted this way of thinking is because it works. I mean, it helps keep people on track. It keeps them focused on a goal, and it helps gives them drive and purpose in their work. And I know for me, I have used this a lot at work, and I've used it a lot at home. Back before we built our house, I used to go out in our yard, and I would just stand out in our yard and just look at where we were going to build our house at. I would just stand out there and just visualize it, where I was going to put it, where I was going to put the driveway, what color it was going to be, where I was going to put the back porch, looking off into the field at my deer feeder, all this stuff. And I would just stand out there like this right here, and Crystal would just be laughing at me. I just Forrest Gumping it out there with my hands on my hips. She's like, what are you doing out there? So I would just stand out there and visualize it. And the thing is, no one else could see it, but I could see it already. And you know, that meant something. I've used it at work. The Lord's blessed me so much in my career over the years and given me favor. He's given me physical vision, where he delivered me from smoking and caused us to get on a health kick where we started eating healthier and exercising. He's given me spiritual vision. Every time I get up here, I talk about spiritual growth, so I'm not going to just beat that dead horse to death. But, I mean, he's given me so much spiritual growth in the last few years. So vision is a good thing. We all need it. We need physical, spiritual, and financial vision in our lives. One thing that I want to point out, and I want to make sure you guys get to know tonight, there is no age limit or age restriction on vision. So one thing that happens is when you're too young, you think, well, I got my whole life to worry about that. I ain't no sense me making plans or worrying about the future. I mean, I can do that later when I get older. And on the flip side, sometimes we get too old. We think, I'm too old to even start worrying about it. I've lived this long. I've got by. My way's just doing just good. But one thing I want you to note, too, is you're never too young or too old to be living out God's purpose in your life. One thing that can happen with vision, and this is what basically my message is on, is sometimes we can get too focused on a vision. Sometimes we can get too focused on the vision that we can miss God's blessings along the way of the vision. Sometimes we get so focused on where God's taking us that we miss what he's trying to teach us in the moment. So I got, there's two stories in the Bible that I wanted to touch on tonight. The first one, it's a short story. It's in Matthew chapter 16. It's verses 5 through 12, and I'll just skim over it for you guys. Y'all ain't got to turn. Y'all can just read along with me or listen to me. It says, and when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Man, who hadn't forgot to take bread on a trip? It could happen to any of us, right? That's funny. Y'all can laugh at that. It's okay to laugh in church. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, this is because we hadn't taken any bread. I knew it. I knew Jesus was going, no, we didn't take no bread. Now he's busted us. Which Jesus then perceived, and he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why do you reason amongst yourselves because you have no bread? Do you not understand nor remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it you do not understand? I wasn't talking about bread. How do you not know that? Right? But not the bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he told them to be not to be aware of the bread, but the doctrine. They finally got it at the end there. So the point of this story that I wanted to point out, the disciples here, they're so focused on their circumstance. They're so focused on, man, we don't have any food. We don't have blah, 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 that they miss what Jesus is trying to teach them in the moment. They got to the point that they were so focused on their vision that they missed what he was trying to teach them. And we can do that too in life if we get too focused on what's going on around you and your environment. The other story, I wanted to talk about a little bit about the children of Israel and how they're wandering in the wilderness. Obviously, this is a much longer story, and I'm not going to read that whole thing. That would hurt my street cred right there if I kept y'all here all night reading that whole story, but I'm just going to touch on some of the highlights tonight. This story is covered in Exodus, Numbers, and into Joshua as he takes over. Here in this story, we have Israel who are slaves to Egypt. We all know this. God sends a plague upon Egypt, causing them to release Israel. He parts the Red Sea. He drowns the Egyptian army. He speaks to them from the mountain. He brings a pillar, a cloud of fire to guard them day and night. He brings them manna from heaven. He brings them quail for meat. And he brings them water from the rock. Still at every turn, at every problem, at every adversity they face, all they want to do is just run back to Egypt and be slaves. So when they're so focused here on the promise of the land flowing with milk and honey that they miss how God's working in their lives. They're so focused on that, they miss how God has been faithful, how he was right there with them the whole time. And when I read this story, it blows my mind. And I always wonder, like, why in the world would they just want to run back to Egypt and be slaves? That don't make any sense. But how many times do we do that in our lives? Whether it be addiction in our lives or we're living for God and things don't go the right way or something, we just want to turn right back and go into our old way of life. And when I think about this, the conclusion that I've come to is what I call the unwritten pages. And before y'all just freak out on me like, what are you talking about, the unwritten pages? I ain't going to preach nothing that ain't in the Bible. Y'all can calm down about that. The unwritten pages is what I consider is just simple everyday life. Stuff that we're not reading in the Bible, but it was happening. They were living through it. Simple everyday life will numb you and dull you to the blessings that the Lord's pouring out. Just everyday living, you'll just get blinded by it and get numb to the fact that the Lord's blessing you. So when we read these stories, we're reading the high points. And then we read it and think, how in the world did they not realize what God was doing and what he was wanting to teach them in that moment? How could they not see it? But it's the same in our lives. We do exactly the same thing. We get caught up in everyday life, and before you know it, we're overwhelmed. The way that we overcome this is we need to reflect. If we don't reflect, if we don't take time and reflect back on where we come from, sometimes we'll miss it. I can't tell you how many times that I've missed things until I've took time and reflected back on them. Then I realized how much God was working during that time in my life, how much God was teaching me, how much he was growing me in those situations when I look back on them now and see them. So the way that we overcome this is with reflection. And the best way that I could describe reflection is obviously just standing in front of a mirror. I mean, hey, just standing in front of a mirror. But I didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to do that tonight. And I feel like the main reason is because if I describe it that way, sometimes standing in front of a mirror is permanent, or you can get stuck there. And that ain't the way that he wanted me to describe it. What I pictured in my head was I was standing next to this huge body of water. The water is just completely smooth. It's just glassed over. It's slick. And this is the clearest water I could see. And I could see all the way to the bottom. And I could see through it down there. And I could see my vision at the bottom. And then when I got overwhelmed, I took time and I focused right here on the top of the water. And then I could see God's blessings in my life, if that makes sense to y'all. I hope I didn't confuse y'all with that reference. But reflection can fill you with gratitude and thankfulness. Reflection can replenish you and give you a second wind. And most importantly, reflection can build up your faith by, you know, realizing that God is with you. He's for you. He's right there with you. And if he's done it once, he can do it again. So to summarize this up, because I don't like to overfeed you guys. I like to, you know, my point is always to give a short, direct message and give you something that you can walk out these doors with. So to summarize this all up, first we're going to seek God for direction. We're going to picture it, plan it, and walk it out in our lives. And then third, we're going to take time to reflect on it, where God's brought us from, where God's blessed us, and what he's wanting to teach us in that moment. My prayer tonight is that this does stir up vision in this house. You may have come in here tonight without any vision at all, like no plans or anything. I'm hoping the Lord blesses you with vision tonight. You may come in here tonight running on empty, ready to give up on your vision. And I pray that the Lord gives you reflection, that you see his blessings in your life. Or you may have come in here tonight feeling like you already accomplished all your goals in life. Like you've already accomplished the visions that God's given you. And I pray that he causes you to dream again and gives you new vision. Wherever you are, I know that God is faithful and that he'll meet you right here wherever you are. Amen. All right, you guys stand to your feet. I'll pray with us tonight. And I'll cut y'all loose. Father, we thank you for the vision that you've given us, Lord. I thank you for the drive and desire that you've placed inside of us. Lord, I pray that you stir up vision inside of us, desire, dreams in your people, Lord. I know that you have good plans for us, plans for a future, plans for hope. Lord, I know that you that have begun a good work in us will complete it. Lord, I ask that you bless this word tonight. Let it bring change in people's lives. Father, I've spoken it just as you've given it to me, but I'm nothing without you. Only you are powerful. Only you bring growth, and only you bring real change in people's lives, Lord. So, Father, I just ask that you just stir up your people. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great night.